And I'd like to invite Mark and Hazel out, who are going to come and bring our readings to us. And after that, Martin will come and speak.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. When you lift your hands in prayer, I will not look at you. No matter how much you pray, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves clean. Stop all this evil that I see you doing. Yes, stop doing evil and learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their rights and defend widows. The Lord says, now let's settle the matter. You are stained red with sin, but I will wash you as clean as snow. Although your stains are deep red, you will be as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will eat the good things the land produces. But if you defy me, you are doomed to die. I, the Lord, have spoken.
The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, we have always prayed for you, ever since we heard about you. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, with all the wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives. Then you will be able to live as the Lord wants and will always do what pleases him. Your lives will produce all kinds of good deeds, and you will grow in your knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength which comes from his glorious power, so that you may be able to endure everything with patience. And with joy give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to have your share of what God has reserved for his people in the kingdom of light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we can meet together this morning as your people. And we pray now that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear your message for our lives. We pray that you would speak clearly. And we pray, more importantly, that we would be willing and ready to listen. So, Father, speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in our morning series this term, we've been looking at the letter from Paul to the church in Colossae as we uncover what it means to be fruitful on our front lines. For those of you that are joining in with the home group courses, you will know too that there are six M's that underpin the series. These six M's are designed to give us a framework to help us be more fruitful on our front lines. And as we go through Colossians together, we're unpacking these six M's a little bit. So far in our series, we've looked at modelling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, moulding culture. And today we are looking at being a mouthpiece for truth and justice. This has meant that we've jumped around a little bit in the letter, as I don't think Paul had the six M's in mind when he wrote it. So today, as we draw near to the end of the series, we find ourselves heading back to the beginning of the letter. This morning, we're going back to chapter 1 to look at the second part of the prayer that Paul makes for the church in Colossae. We want to explore what he was praying for, what it meant for the people then, and what it means for us today. How does this prayer of Paul's for that small church in Colossae impact on our lives? And what on earth does it have to do with being a mouthpiece for truth and justice? The section we've chosen to focus on this morning is part of the prayer that Paul makes for that church. He's explaining to the church the way that he has been praying for them and what he's been praying for. This is by way of encouragement and by way of a challenge to the false teachings that they've heard and are being drawn to. Paul is seeking to assure the people of the power of God and the love that he has for them, that he's demonstrated firstly through the work of his son Jesus, and now through the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's get into this prayer and see what we can learn together. There are three major elements to this passage that I want to explore this morning. There is the prayer itself, which contains two of those elements. There's an asking section, and there's a gift section, which we find in verses 9 to 11. Then there is a thanksgiving section, thanking God for the benefits that he gives to Christians. And that's what we read in the verses 12 to 14. So let's think about the asking. The prayer itself is a great example of how we should pray. And as we look at it, we see the very heart of what prayer should be. And as we explore this first section of the passage, we see that Paul is asking for two things. He asks for discernment of God's will, and then he asks for the power to perform that will. The prayer begins with Paul asking that the people will be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. You see, for Paul, prayer is about the people listening to God, and not about trying to get God listening to them. Paul is reminding the people that their prayer is not about trying to persuade God to do what they want, but rather it is about doing his will. And what is true for the people of Colossae is true for us today. Haven't we this morning together prayed the Lord's Prayer? Haven't we read the words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done"? Did we really mean that? Or should we have been praying, "Your will be changed to fit our plans"? Prayer is about discerning and listening to God's will. The first object of prayer is to listen to God rather than to speak to him. If we are truly seeking the knowledge of God, then the knowledge needs to be translated into our everyday lives and everyday situations. Paul prays for wisdom and understanding that comes from the Spirit for the people of Colossae. But what does that mean? Spiritual wisdom would have been translated by the Greeks to be the knowledge of first principles. And what that really means is they're the great truths, the primary things, the building blocks for our understanding, for our knowledge. And the understanding in Greek terms is about something they called critical knowledge. This is about how to apply the first principles of life into any situation. So what Paul is praying for then is that they will understand the great truths of the Christian faith and be able to apply them in their everyday tasks and decisions. You see, it's no good being a master of theology, but a failure in life. We must be able to take the knowledge that God gives and be able to apply it to our lives. It is no good for us to be able to write or talk about the great Christian truths, but not be able to apply them and work them into our daily situations. It is not enough to have a head knowledge. It must spill over into our lives and into our work. Every part of our lives must be affected by this knowledge and understanding of God's will. For the people of God, knowledge and understanding must show itself in right conduct. Paul is praying for his friends that they would behave in a way that will please God and bring honour to him. I believe that this would be his prayer for each of us also. Paul would urge us to be sure that our conduct is pleasing to God. The way we live our lives should show the world the faith that we have. To enable us to live in this way, Paul would urge us to keep praying. You see, for Paul, prayer is not a passive thing. It is far more than the words that we say. The Apostle Paul would say that prayer goes alongside action. And he would say that it's prayer that enables us to be in tune with God's will and then able to live out that will in our lives. William Barclay sums this up well when he says, "We pray not to escape life, but in order to be better able to meet it." But how do we do this? How do we bring this knowledge and understanding into our everyday lives? And how do we live it out? Well, Paul has the answer for this too. In the words of Jeremy Clarkson, he would say, "Power! Power. What we need is to be strengthened with the power of God." The big problem with life is that we know most of the time what it is we're supposed to be doing in the situations we find ourselves in. The problem comes in trying to put that knowledge into practice. You see, the problem in life is not knowing what to do, it's being able to do it. God doesn't just tell us his will, but he gives us the power to perform it. Paul encourages the people, he encourages us to ask God through prayer for both the knowledge to live by the will of God and the power of God to cope with all that life throws at us. So in the first part of this prayer, we see that Paul is asking for and encouraging the Colossians to ask for knowledge and power. The prayer ends in verse 11 with a request for three great qualities to help the people. These are endurance, patience, and joy. Endurance, or fortitude as it would have been described in the AV, in Greek words, would actually translate as being the ability to deal with all that life throws at you. Endurance, the ability to deal with all that life throws at you. But it's not just about keeping your head down as life and situations pour over the top of you. It's not endurance in that you survive despite being overwhelmed by the events of life. It is far more than just surviving. This kind of endurance is about dealing with all the uncertainties and confusions of life and not being overwhelmed. It is to stand tall, to overcome, and indeed to thrive. This kind of endurance is about bringing God's glory to the struggles of life. It is the endurance that no situation can defeat. And then we move to the patience. So it's endurance, then patience. The patience that Paul is praying for is in essence patience with people. It is the ability to cope with the nasty people in life. It is the spirit that never loses patience with, belief in, and hope for humanity. The patience that we are to look for is the patience that no person can defeat. The final quality to be received is joy. Paul wants the Colossians to face life with joy. Joy in all circumstances, Life may be a struggle. It may be tough. But we should try not to let it become a grim struggle of survival. For the Christian should have the endurance to cope with the events of life, the patience to cope with people, and the joy to smile our way through it. Paul's prayer for the Colossians and for us is simply this: make me victorious over every circumstance. Make me patient with every person. And give me the joy which no situation or person can ever take away. The final section of this passage, verses 12 to 14, is where Paul highlights the benefits or blessings that God has given to his people. The benefits and blessings that are ours, who are able to understand and live in the knowledge and will of God. The Colossians, as to us, have been accepted into God's kingdom. They, like us, are able to share in the inheritance of God's dedicated people. Paul reminds the people that they, as Gentiles, will receive the same inheritance as the Jews, God's original chosen people. And Paul uses some interesting language and imagery in these final two verses. There's a particular phrase he uses, which is, has brought us safe. Or if you read the AV, he puts it, has transferred us. And the actual Greek phrase for this would have been understood as to imply the kind of takeover that a conquering king would have adopted. You see, when a king conquered another country, he would take the people and transfer them to his country. And a great example of this would be found in the book of Daniel. Daniel and his friends are taken to Babylon to be assimilated, as it were, into the conquering culture. The conquered people are removed, taken, and made to adapt to a new way of life. And in this passage, Paul is saying that through Jesus, God has conquered the power of darkness and has brought the people safely to the kingdom of God, to be accepted as part of this new kingdom. But it's more than a forced takeover. We've not just been taken away by force. We've been transferred. We've been rescued. I guess maybe a better modern day analogy for this would be a football transfer, where one player is sold between football clubs, usually these days for a massive amount of money. The buying club wants the player desperately. It's the missing piece for their team. And they will pay the asking price, whatever that price might be, to make sure they get the player. Now, I'm old enough to remember the first £1 million transfer fee. Jerry Francis moving from Birmingham City to Nottingham Forest. It was a big thing back then, and it made lots of headlines. You don't look too impressed. I can see that. But back then, as a little lad, I remember seeing Jerry Francis on TV being hailed as the most expensive football player in transfer history in our country. Forest, Nottingham Forest, Brian Clough, really wanted the player and paid then what was a massive fee to make sure that he got his man. Isn't that exactly what God has done for each of us through Jesus? Hasn't God blown away the transfer fee to make sure that each one of us can be part of his team? We have been taken in, not just moved over or even transferred over. We have been rescued by Jesus into God's kingdom. And this means four things for us. We've been transferred from darkness into light, Paul says. As Christians, we move from darkness into light. We stop stumbling through life in the shadows and start walking in the sunlight. Without God, we stumble and fall. We go through life without ever seeing the full picture. In Christ, we have found the source of light. The shadows are dispersed, and we can begin to see the life that God has mapped for us. Secondly, we have been transferred from slavery into freedom. It means that through Jesus, we have been redeemed. Just as slaves can be brought out and given freedom. Without God, we are like slaves. We are slaves to our fears and our sins. And we are helpless. With Jesus, we can find freedom from slavery. We can be free men and women. And thirdly, Paul says we have been transferred from condemnation into forgiveness. Because of our lives, because of the sin we have committed, we deserve nothing from God. But through the work of Jesus and his death and resurrection from the cross, we can discover the love and forgiveness that God offers. We no longer face condemnation, but we live in hope. We have been transferred, finally, Paul says, transferred from the power of Satan to the power of God. Through Jesus, we can break away from the grip that the devil has on our lives, and we are able to become a member of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Just as one king would transfer the conquered people from one land to another, so God, in his victorious love, transfers us from the world of sin and darkness into the realm of holiness and light. So how does this help us in our desire to be fruitful on our front lines? How does this help us to become a mouthpiece for truth and justice? Firstly, we need to accept the transfer fee that God has paid for us in Jesus. We need to make the move from this earthly kingdom into God's kingdom. We must also see that when we pray, we need to seek the knowledge and will of God and the power to turn the knowledge into action. Finally, when we accept God into our lives, when we receive his power, remember we have the strength to cope with whatever the world throws at us and whatever people do to us. We can speak boldly, act wisely, and bring truth and justice to the situations we find ourselves in, because we are part of the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for the transfer fee that you've paid for each one of us. We want to thank you for your son Jesus, for his willingness to die on the cross, but to rise again as our Saviour. We thank you that you love each one of us enough that you're willing to pay that price. Father, our prayer this morning is that you would help us to be filled with the knowledge of your will, that we would know your purposes and your plans, And we pray that you would fill us with your power. Power to cope with all the situations that we find ourselves in, the struggles of this world, the struggles in our lives. To face head on the situations we find ourselves in and the people who would speak against us. Help us to be mouthpieces of truth and justice in this world, that we might speak for you, stand up for the oppressed, speak out when we see injustice, and bring your truth into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.